This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 1205. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Jim Goodis.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. It's mostly sunny today, a high temperature around 80, currently 78 at O'Hare and 73 at the lakefront.
Let's get the latest live on the markets as we go to Bloomberg and Elisa Peretti.
Jim and Chris, they came, they shopped, and they gave Amazon its biggest Prime Day yet. And that was just the Amazon investors. Amazon shares hit records 5 days straight. They were looking to do it for a sixth straight session, but Facebook and Microsoft are taking a step back from their own records. Amazon is lower now by about a tenth of a percent. All of that pressure is pushing the NASDAQ back from its record high yesterday, although it's lower by just about a fraction of a point. The Dow higher by 77 points, or a third of a percent, trading just under 25,200. S&P up 5 points, and the Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is higher by 0.4%. Home builder stocks are struggling with the government's look at June home construction. Housing starts hit a 9-month low, and 9 months ago, the home building business was hobbled by hurricanes Harvey and Irma. This time, it looks like builders were responding to higher borrowing costs and higher labor and material costs. Crude oil futures have set aside losses, now up about 0.5% to $68.40. Back to you, Jim and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to be talking about some of the latest economic reports and how did Prime Day go for Amazon and one of its competitors, as a matter of fact. Interesting story there.
On Personal Finance Wednesday, we'll talk about how to cut big credit card debt. And Walmart yet again showing that sometimes it's Allmart, as now it's thinking about getting into a streaming service. That all ahead on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Target came out a big winner on Amazon Prime Day. We're going to be covering that in our next segment. But right now, a closely watched report on the housing market leads today's data. We're joined by Jim Key, president and chief economist at South Texas Money Management in San Antonio. Jim, welcome to the Noon Business Hour. Thanks for joining us today. Let's talk about the housing numbers. The U.S. housing was plunging. Housing starts were plunging 12% in June. What does that mean?
That's right, and permits were down too. Throughout this expansion, if you want to look at intelligently, I think at housing starts, you have to take a step back and look at a long-term chart. And housing starts have kind of been below expansion averages throughout this expansion, which began in 2009. So what you see is a gradual upward trend with absolute numbers below history, with a lot of sharp monthly punctuations. And this was a big drop, but it's pretty par for the course of what we've seen this expansion, which is just a gradual rise in housing starts with a lot of monthly volatility in those starts. So If you asked an economist before this, the recent crash in 2008, what leads the economy, they would say housing and autos. This expansion has been very different. Housing has behaved, understandably, very differently. So I wouldn't read too much into it. Most of or all of the other indicators from the economy, whether it's earnings or sales, tend to point to a continued and really accelerating expansion in the economy.
And it's interesting, the housing starts tumbled 12%, but at the same time, there's a shortage of properties available for sale.
Yeah, and anytime you also see housing prices on the rise, and anytime you see prices rise, for it doesn't matter what market, it's because at the existing price, demand exceeded supply. A lot of people look at housing demand today and think a lot of it's driven by investment demand, which may or may not be a good thing, but supply's been pretty tight. Home builders are citing things like labor shortages and materials prices and shortages. So I think it's just a temporary market adjustment. I think when I look back, I think the longer-term trend is going to be a continued modest expansion in housing starts that we've seen this whole expansion since 2009.
Well, let's put this in with the economy as a whole and the health of the economy after the big letdown 10 years ago.
Yeah. When you had housing, this crisis was, you know, the worst recession, probably the second worst since the Great Depression, was driven by a housing collapse. So I think we've seen a lot of rebuilding of credit. We've seen a lot of hesitancy on new home buyers, and it's the kind of expansion in housing that you would expect to see following a housing crash-led recession. Very modest, volatile monthly, but the overall trend is pretty consistent. It's upward, but far more modest than we've seen in prior expansions.
Jim, if housing prices are going up, does that mean that demand is such that buyers are not necessarily going to be as sensitive to rising interest rates?
Well, there's a couple of things. Wages and interest rates are usually thought to drive the housing market, but pulling it apart, and I've done some work in the past on what's more important, the strength of the economy or mortgage rates, you find that when the economy is growing pretty strongly, like we're seeing now, housing tends to do well kind of regardless of what mortgage rates do. And mortgage rates have come off their lows, but they're still pretty low by historical standards. So in this expansion, I would look to the economic numbers to inform me on the housing market more than mortgage rates. Both of them play a part, but I think growth tends to dominate. Most people think the opposite. And when you have weak economic growth, housing tends to decline in housing starts and purchases, regardless, even with low interest rates.
Jim Key, President and Chief Economist at South Texas Money Management in San Antonio. Thanks, Jim, for your perspective on this. Coming up, Target crashes Amazon's online party.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Target has taken advantage of Amazon's Prime Day, registering its biggest online shopping day of the year. And we're joined by Jan Rogers Niffen, the CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. So it's really, Jan, the thing that Amazon benefits from this, but a whole lot of retailers are, including Target. They're actually taking advantage of this to boost what had been traditionally one of the slowest times of the year for retail.
Well, everybody tried to. Macy's did a big event for us. We also saw Penny's do an event. But yeah, across the board, people have tried to capitalize on this suddenly a day in July where you could do some business, because you can never do any business in July. It's the second slowest retail month of the year. Nobody shops in July. It's all clearance. And suddenly, Amazon creates this day that's like a holiday. It's kind of like what Alibaba has done, you know, with their Singles Day. They created a holiday nobody ever heard of before. Well, Amazon created Prime. It's great when you think about it. Everybody's doing business. It's amazing.
Target's doing well on this. Who else is benefiting from Amazon making online shopping and deep discounts something that people are now waiting for in the summertime and pouncing on?
Well, of course, besides Amazon, it's all of the people that sell on Amazon. So all those third-party sellers, they have a huge day, and that's a big benefit to all of them. But even Macy's had a big day for the sale by tying it into it. And we know Target probably had the best day other than Amazon. But across the board, if you're selling online, you went out and you said things to your constituency like, hey, $119, you could spend that with us. In other words, dissing our friends at Amazon's need to make you pay $119 to be part of Prime. So people played off of that, and they said, here's the things you could get from us for $119. So there was all kinds of play off of the Amazon game that actually worked. And that's kind of amazing when you consider that, like I said, nobody shops in July. The next real selling is back to school. And there was a lot of back to school selling, according to the retailers that you talked to on this day. So people probably just pulled that forward. And it's really incredible that they can take a day that doesn't mean anything in retailing and do their biggest event ever, bigger than Black Friday, Cyber Monday for them as far as online sales. and other people participated. It's probably good. It's only 4 years old, right? 4 years ago, they started this. It's gotten bigger progressively every year, and more companies have tried to play. It's going to be a really big deal next year in July.
Jan, is there anything that Amazon can't do? It has come up with so many ways to make money. One share is $1,842. What's the future?
Well, you know, during this event, they couldn't run a website, and we know they're the best website in the country, or in the world, maybe. So they can make mistakes, but it doesn't really seem to matter when you're Amazon. You try something, you just keep going, you fix the problem, your customers forgive you, and you just go forward. So, no, I really don't think there's anything that they can't do. But as they get bigger and bigger, kind of like in Walmart's case, there's very little Walmart can't do once they decide to. But when you get so big, it's hard to do everything well, and it's hard to do enough that it really matters to your bottom line. So it'll be interesting to see as they get to be a bigger and bigger company how it works for them. But so far, they have proven if they want to penetrate the space, they can win in the space. Books, electronics, now apparel, they're just moving right through the retail scene. And no, there's nothing they can't do. They'll be the biggest seller at some point in time in the future of high-end brands. Now, nobody ever thought that was coming.
Jan, thanks so much for joining us today. Jan Rogers Niffen is CEO at J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. Join us at this time tomorrow when we learn that the 10 airports where you're most likely to be hacked. And still ahead, don't forget that. And still ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday, ways to rid yourself of credit card debt.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's get the latest on the markets live from Bloomberg and Elisa Peretti.
Jim, we're headed higher across the board now with the Dow up 68 points or 0.25%. NASDAQ higher by a fraction to 78.56. Any gain on the day would push the record higher. And the S&P higher by 5 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is gaining almost 0.5%. We have crude oil futures gaining ground, setting aside earlier losses, now up 0.2% to $68.50 a barrel. As for a check of grains prices, we turn to Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets remain firm as we move to the noon hour. Buying interest has been capped due to a cooler forecast over the near term. However, price pullbacks have been supported by a drier forecast as we move into next week. There was a sale of 199,000 tons of beans to Pakistan. The next market maker will be Thursday morning's weekly export sales report, and grain sales are expected to be good. Corn futures are up 1 to 1.5, beans 2 to 2.5 cents higher, and the wheat market unchanged up 0.5. This is Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Welcome to the second half of the WBBM Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Jim Gutis.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio, WBBM.
Stocks are a touch higher. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Personal Finance Wednesday, strategies to get rid of credit card debt.
Walmart considers taking on Netflix and Amazon in the video streaming wars.
There is a report that three Chicago area hospitals, Weiss Memorial, Westlake, and West Suburban Medical Center, are changing ownership.
On the WBBM Market Watch, the Dow right now up 74, the S&P 500 up 5, the NASDAQ, though, is down a fraction.
Mostly sunny this afternoon, a high temperature around 80. It's 78 degrees now at O'Hare, 73 along Chicago's lakefront.
WBBM News Time, 12:31. Small gains on Wall Street at this hour, and we're joined by Tim Gursky, who's the Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council in New York. So, Tim, not much movement on Wall Street today. And in fact, the NASDAQ's kind of been teetering around unchanged all day. So what's going on?
Well, it's a busy day in terms of news, Jim. A lot of individual company news out there. But overall, we had a big day in the markets yesterday, and that's simply being digested a bit today as we're in the heat of earnings season, the peak of it.
How much of the what's going on, what the president had to say in Helsinki and then what he said the day after and all of these things, how much of that is being factored into what's going on the street?
Well, I think the stock market comes and goes in terms of its reaction to what comes out of Washington, and in terms of geopolitics overall. I think the feeling creeping into this market is that the next action, the next event in terms of the tariffs is some type of meeting, is a negotiation, and we think that it will be a positive development because eventually it'll lead to some type of settlement and some type of clarity in terms of what these tariffs might end up being or not being. So we think the market is beginning to focus forward in terms of this issue and look at that issue on a more longer-term basis.
So, Tim, you're of the camp that believes that at some point either someone's going to blink or cooler heads are going to prevail, and we are not going to enter a trade war that keeps escalating tariff by tariff by tariff.
Well, I think we're already in a trade war because there has been a lot of tit-for-tat going back and forth, especially between the U.S. and China, but also Canada and the EU. You know, like the war is out there. We haven't seen any impact on companies. And I think that's important as companies have been reporting so far this quarter, its second quarter earnings, and giving outlooks. Companies' managements have not given any credence to what might happen in terms of tariffs. So I think the market is looking beyond this tariff issue to eventual settlement.
We're hearing from two big players on Wall Street today about earnings. Morgan Stanley's shares are jumping after its profit tops the street. And United Airlines, based here in Chicago, has shares surging more than 8% after raising the outlook. These are two really interesting story stocks today.
Hi, Chris. Yes. You know, I think I'll start with United because it's up so strongly here. And this is a company that is really just managing itself extremely well. Not only did they have very good second quarter earnings, but they raised expectations for third quarter earnings. And a lot of that is coming both from increased revenues per passenger. They're looking for growth there of 4 to 6% next quarter. That's quite an increase. And they're lowering their capacity growth. In other words, they're not going to increase the number of aircraft as much. So they're playing it also very conservatively in terms of their outlook for growth. So this is a company that's just doing things very well. Morgan Stanley, a very good quarter. They exceeded expectations both on earnings and revenues, and they raised their quarterly dividends significantly. And they're going to buy back a lot of stock. So obviously the stock market being near all-time highs, the bond market at least somewhat steady here, all these are good things for the big brokers like Morgan Stanley, and they're showing it in their results.
Morgan Stanley up about 2 percentage points today, and United is up by 6 points.
Exactly. You know, just reacting very well to all this good news.
In fact, there was something interesting about Delta yesterday, and I'll ask it about it in terms of United and other airlines, and that is, even though air traffic is increasing, one problem that airlines are facing is the fact that trying to find enough pilots to fill all of these flights. We know Delta is trying to hire about 8,000. Industry-wide, how serious a concern is that?
Well, I think it's a big issue, and I think I think the airlines are going to have to pay pilots more to attract them first to their airline, and also attract new potential pilots to the industry and to learn. I think one interesting development here, and that is, and this will scare people: self-driving planes, autonomous planes. And while I think we're not going to see that in the very near future, eventually, that could certainly happen, and the technology is there. These planes almost fly themselves and almost land themselves, and the pilots are really only there for emergencies. So it'll be interesting to see that development occur, and, of course, that will solve the pilot shortage problem if indeed that comes to pass.
And every time we talk about autonomous planes, I keep thinking about that scene from Airplane where the pilot, the inflatable pilot, comes up. But luckily, it is not that. Tim Gursky, the chief investment strategist at Inverness Council in New York, thanks for joining us. Up next on Personal Finance Wednesday, helping in taking down big credit card debt.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. Credit card debt can be disastrous in some instances. Let's get some strategic assistance from Liz Weston, columnist for NerdWallet and author of the book Deal With Your Debt in Los Angeles. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Liz. Nice to have you on.
Thanks, Chris.
The thing about credit card debt and debt in general is that a lot of times you don't really know what you're doing until you see it on paper.
Yeah, and also you may not really pay attention until it's too late. And the first thing I tell people is if your debt equals half or more of your income, and we're talking about credit cards, personal loans, medical debt, maybe you should be looking at a credit counselor filing for bankruptcy rather than trying to do a DIY solution.
So how do you what do you do so that you won't get into that situation? What are some of the points here?
Well, ideally, you would, you know, address the situation before it gets that bad. And one of the things you can do if you have a lot of credit card debt and you still have good credit scores is look for a 0% balance transfer rate. If you're disciplined enough to pay it off in the 18 to 21 months during that teaser period when the 0% rate is present, that can be a really good way to get rid of debt. But again, you have to have good credit and you have to have discipline. If that doesn't describe you, maybe a personal loan is the way to go. You borrow money from a credit union or an online lender or your bank, and it has a fixed rate and a fixed term, and you pay it off over 3 to 5 years. That can be another solution. The issue is you can't keep running up debt. If you don't fix the problem that caused you to overspend in the first place, you're just going to wind up in a bigger hole 3 to 5 years down the line.
Liz, you talk about those credit counseling services. How do they work, and when are they a good idea, and when are they a bad idea?
Well, you want, obviously, to go to a legitimate one, one that's affiliated with the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Those are nonprofits. And basically what they do is they sit down with you, and they deal mostly with credit card debt. So if your debts happen to be other, you know, if you can't handle your student loans, you need another solution. But if credit cards are your thing, they can get you on a plan that lowers your interest rate, and you pay it off typically over 3 to 5 years. I would say if you're looking at a credit counselor, you also want to talk to a bankruptcy attorney because credit counselors are going to try to steer you away from bankruptcy typically, and a bankruptcy attorney might be able to give you the other side of the story of when bankruptcy does make sense.
And when does bankruptcy make sense?
If you don't have a lot and you have a lot of debt, in other words, you don't have a lot of assets to protect, but you have a whole lot of debt, then that's something to look for. If you can't pay off those credit cards within 5 years, maybe you want to look at bankruptcy protection because that can keep you from, you know, getting all these collection calls. It can keep you from getting sued if you can't pay your debt, and it can get the debt resolved. But it's a complicated thing and not something you really want to DIY. So that's why you need to go talk to a bankruptcy attorney. There's a group called the National Association of Consumer Bankruptcy Attorneys. You can get a referral from there.
A lot of people start having a credit card as they go off to college. That should be a big learning session at that point, right?
I'd really like to see parents do this before the kid leaves for college so that they can be, you know, the kid is still under your roof and you can supervise this. But in general, you want to make sure they get the idea that they shouldn't charge more in a month than they can afford to pay off in full. You don't want to be carrying debt on credit cards. That's not good for your credit scores and it's bad for your wallet. So getting in the habit of paying off your credit cards in full is probably the best habit you can get into when you're heading off to college or anywhere else.
What about the option of either giving them a debit card with a limit or a prepaid card where they can't run anything up because there's going to be a set limit on it?
Yeah, that's definitely an option. I like to see kids having and handling a checking account before they go off to college so they have some experience with this. And generally, by the time they're in high school, they can have a checking account that you can supervise with a debit card. They can kind of get in the habit of checking the balance and making sure they don't overspend. You don't have to give a kid a credit card when they go off to college, and it can actually be a bad thing because you're not there to supervise. So there's no one right answer for every family. You know your kid. You know what they're likely to do with a credit card with a large limit. If you're more comfortable with a debit card, absolutely go that route.
Liz, thanks so much for joining us. Liz Weston, columnist for NerdWallet, author of the book Deal With Your Debt in Los Angeles. And join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. We're going to look at the growing applications of blockchain technology. And still to come, Walmart considers a foray into video streaming.
Information you can bank on.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Netflix, Amazon, and Disney could have another competitor in streaming video, and that would be Walmart. Let's get the latest from Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group in New York, and you can follow him on Twitter at Shelley Palmer. Shelley, thanks for joining us today. Walmart wants to stream video.
Yeah, of course they do. Whole bunch of reasons. First of all, they need to get deeper into the business of relationships across devices that are not the physical space. Walmart, Amazon's done an amazing job with Prime and Prime Video. Netflix is enigmatically large and doing fine. Walmart wants to get in the game. It's going to help them in a lot of ways. It's going to change their relationship to media, to content adjacency. And ultimately, I think it's going to be, you know, a good approach to augmented retail and the new kind of streaming tools they're going to need as retail evolves over time. So for every reason, it's a good idea. The hard part, to be fair, Amazon spending billions, would it be, and Netflix, I think, $8 billion on content. It's a very, very, very serious business. Licensed content, which is readily available, is not as desirable to consumers. And Netflix and Amazon and all of the organizations that are in the content streaming business are trying to do original programming and do it at a very high level. So the barrier to entry is very high. The investment is going to be extraordinary. For this thing to work, they're going to have to pour money into it and expertise, both. So do they have that? Money, yes. Expertise, they're going to have to find the expertise. And it's rare as hen's teeth, as I like to say.
Besides Walmart, who else is chasing after Amazon?
My suspicion is that everybody of size who wants to have a deeper relationship with their customer base is going to probably get into some version of this. The tools are pretty ubiquitous. The networks are available for hire. There's plenty of commoditized room to distribute video. So it's a very low barrier from a technical standpoint. The hard part is the content and the marketing. So anyone who's a big marketer, who's got a big audience, should be able to leverage that audience into a good streaming audience without a lot of muster fuss. But, of course, the magic and the devil's in the details, and that's the matching of content to the audience and, you know, delivering the right message or right content to the right person at the right time. So it's Walmart. If you, anybody, look at any retailer, any large retail organization, it would make great sense for them to develop this kind of technology and these kinds of relationships. The question is, can they? It, like I said, the bar is pretty high and now, the barriers are high.
Now, Amazon used streaming video in part to make Prime even more of a popular item. Is Walmart able in some way to use streaming media to help its other online retail businesses and attract more customers there, such as Amazon used streaming media services as a way to sell Prime?
I think that's true. The other thing that's important, yes, it's a short answer. And the other thing you have to know is that Amazon uses the data they collect from Prime. You demonstrate non-verbally your passions when you watch a movie or you watch a piece of content, and so you reveal a lot about who you are and things you aspire to and what you like based on your content choices. So Amazon, which is a very data-rich organization, has that entire data set to use to help put the right offer in front of you at the right time to sell product. Walmart's going to try and do exactly the same thing.
Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group out of New York. You can follow him on Twitter at Shelley Palmer and his website, shelleypalmer.com. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. We'll check the latest on the markets next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Well, Chris, the Dow now higher by 53 points, or 0.2%, and the NASDAQ is losing 9, or 0.1%, S&P up 3. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining 0.3%, outperforming the larger indices, partially because better-than-expected earnings news has Grainger shares soaring 11%. They're our best local performer. And a strong U.S. dollar was no match for Abbott Labs. That stock is stretching to a record high. There were worries about currencies impacting international sales, but investors have been setting those aside. Sinclair says it will stop its plan to sell WGN in Chicago and two TV stations in Texas to address FCC concerns. The move shows that Sinclair is not giving up on its Tribune acquisition. The merger, as it is proposed now, would leave Sinclair bigger than allowed under FCC media ownership rules, which puts a cap on what portion the national TV audience one company can reach. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.